Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast. When I entered adulthood and I entered adult relationships and got married, I always envisioned myself having Black babies. Mm-hmm. And that vision had not changed given all the options in the world. If a Black man didn't exist, I'm looking for something that closely resembles mm-hmm. me and my experience in the world. And so for me, it was important to have little people who fit into Black spaces comfortably, and we're grounded in that. So I have a certain degree of discomfort with my having to make certain choices for my donor. And I say that only because I didn't want to be seen as a sellout, and I do want my children to be firmly grounded in Black spaces. And so for me, my ethnic background, I am daughter of a mom who comes from African descendants of slaves, and biological father who I never knew is Jamaican. So I come to this firmly rooted in Black and Southern and Caribbean cultures. And for me, it was really important. I had always envisioned having children who I could braid their hair, and we can do reports on Harriet Tubman and things like that, because those are things that I grew up doing. So that was important to me. And so when I sat down to choose a donor, obviously I wanted to work with a Black donor because I had always envisioned having Black children, Black babies. And I had to first overcome some of that. And I had to sit with the comments that a well-meaning family and friends would say, oh, you get to choose a donor. You get to choose a green-eyed, curly-haired, blah, blah, blah. For me, I'm a real pensive person by nature. And so I really sat with each step of my SMC journey and sperm choice. I made a sperm choice quickly, but I did sit quite a while with the things that people said that I could do with all of these options. And then I had to really decide what I realistically could do mm-hmm. and what felt most natural to me. And so when I found that there was not a Black donor that I wanted that had the criteria, I was looking for Black, I was looking for a particular height, I was looking for a clean health record, I was looking for a low to zero number of existing pregnancies, because I naively thought that would limit the dating pool and stuff like that. And then I also wanted a donor who, if we mixed our kids, I could braid my kids' hair and it would stay and I wouldn't have to use any barrettes. So just things like that really factored in. So when I could not find a Black donor, I went back along the Black-Brown spectrum and I worked from the darkest shades, and I didn't have to get too far into the lighter spectrum, but there is a spectrum. And I know I'm Black enough, I'm brown enough that whatever shade of brown I mix with, my kids would come out brown. I know genetics works differently. I roll the dice, but in my view of the world, I have never seen two dark-skinned people make a light baby. It just was not in my realm of reality. And I think that when I look at my kids, I'm like, okay, I rolled the dice and I think I got it. But there was a time when babies were tiny and they were not browning up. And I'm just like, okay.
You're like, I think we need some sun.
And it's that first year for the melanin to kick in. I'm just like, whew, I don't know about this. But yeah, it is a humorous part of the journey as well. But for me, I really wanted my kids to look like they matched me. And I wanted them to be in alignment with the way I saw them, the way the world saw them, and the way that they see themselves. So that was important to me because it's just a lot less messy that way. Now, I say that knowing that I'm coming from a totally Black perspective in the world. I choose to, and this is interwoven into my parenting, is to, we have little time and we have little resources, is making sure that they understand their Blackness. They understand it in the context of America. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making the world think it didn't exist. So you're valued. You're a diamond. You're a gem. And the greatest trick America ever tried to pull was to make you feel that you were less than. So my job as a parent is to make sure you have all the diamonds and rubies and gold built into your soul so that when you roll out there and the world tries to come at you, you've got your armor. You've got your titanium on. So that is what I focus on. Everything else, if I do my job, they will have the tools to learn about the other ethnicities that make up their makeup, their racial identity, however you want to pick that apart. They will have the tools they need to do that. But my job is to make sure that the thing that could most harm them in this world, that they have a firm grasp on what it means and to recognize the signs of danger. I think there is something to be said in almost all the conversations that come up in our space around race. I'm like, I'm raising Black girls, right? Mm-hmm. But there will be a time where my girls who are going to be critical thinkers are going to ask questions. They're going to look at the donor profile and be like, what's all this other stuff? And then they're going to do some research, right? So I fully am grounding them in Blackness with the understanding that my time to lay that foundation is limited, because ultimately they're going to decide how they want to identify the spaces that they feel comfortable, what they choose to spotlight and highlight, and all that other stuff that comes with being an individual person in the world. And even given if they identify as Black women, the way that they physically present is going to give them a different experience in the world than I have. Right. And so there's going to be a point where I'm going to have a proximal relationship to them and be able to provide advice, but it is not fully with the understanding of the experience that they will have as biracial children, because they are biracial children. Right. And I'm not going to understand that biracial part of it. I'm not going to understand when they start dating and men want to pick apart, like, where did your hair come from? Got a bit of a caramel milky complexion. What are you mixed with? When they get those questions, I have never had that experience. People will look at me and assume, oh, you're mixed with Caribbean. Yeah, you hit that nail on the head, right? But I won't have people picking apart my features, saying this is Black, that is other. I won't have to have those uncomfortable conversations where it's just like, yeah, I'm just me. I will tell you, there's something that I do intentionally, and I think tied to race in, globally, tied to race are also other standards of beauty, other standards of attractiveness that are overlaid on women's experience in the world. And so what I did probably from the time my oldest was two, was I started clamping down on people commenting on my child's physical attributes, whether it's skin color, hair texture, eye shape, physical features. She's tall, so she's going to play basketball. I really shut that down, because that opens the door for a whole bunch of other conversations that build into the self-esteem of a person. And in my house, the way I am agnostic, I think, of othering is that I don't really talk about any of that stuff. Like, my daughter will bring it up, like, mommy, something about like DNA and something about long legs and things like that. It comes from her. And so then I am addressing her specific questions, and I'm not feeding or transcribing any of my angst and any of my stuff onto her. Everything is coming from her. The question she will ask comes from her. I create the space for her to ask those questions, but I really try to stay away from any of the physical characteristics and physical features. And so I don't even have to have the conversations of othering. I've had three people bring it up. One was a guy that I was dating who erroneously assumed that I needed him to make my family seem intact because he made the comment like, there's no way we could be out, the three of us, and people would assume she's my daughter. Like, I don't need that cover of respectability, right? Yeah, for I'm not trying to pass my kid off as anything other than my kid, right? So that was one instance where it dealt more so with where he was experiencing his racialized identity and not so much, but people open themselves up when they're like, oh, you use a sperm donor, you went to a bank, and then there you comes in the assumptions and what have you. And then I got it from a friend of mine who is, we're both parenting kids, they play together, but she's married to a white Italian. And so the way that she asked me essentially about race was like, what products do you use on your daughter's hair for her hair texture? And it's just, oh, okay. But I also think that she has a friend circle that has biracial couples and was trying to see if she should invite me into her friend circle. I'm a single mom. So nothing has ever happened outside of the playground area. And it's like, because I don't fit in. And, you know, to her credit, she didn't do anything to make me feel uncomfortable about it. But over time, I realized the implicit, like, I was trying to see if I can bring you into my friend circle. And single, so we could just be friends outside the circle. I will say there's coded language used in both white SNC spaces and Black SNC spaces with regards to using a donor of a different race. So I just want to put that out there. So I know when I realized that I was not going to use a Black donor, I had to sit with, do I use a white donor? And so then, like in a lot of these, we live in a racialized society and you do have a lot of things that you sit with. So I had to sit with, could I use a white donor? And I was just like, I can't, because living in America, for me, the experience as a Black person, as a Black woman, with regards to white men and the history of the usage and abuse of Black women bodies, I could not do that because I don't think that I could authentically teach my kids Black history without having to also break down, but your donor wasn't like that, right? I don't know how to deal with those disconnects in my head, in my spirit, in my soul. And so I just knew that I could not do that. In order for me, even with my white friends, there has to be a real deep connection for me to understand where you are coming from and where your people are coming from. So it goes beyond you. How have you navigated before you knew me? Because people will change and be like, I love Black people, and suddenly become respectful in your presence, but does nothing different, fully lean into white supremacy when they're not around you. And so for me, I need to understand your authentic walk. And so I could not choose a white donor. And I had to think about, if I did not choose a white donor, when my child reached 18, because open ID was important for me, who's this person my child is going to meet? Are they going to say, who's this Black child? So when I thought about choosing a non-white, non-Black donor, I had to also ask myself the questions of, what experience do I want my child to have if by chance they got to reach out to the donor? Yeah, so I will say this topic triggers me a bit, because whenever we have these conversations and we try to approach it sensitively, you get the white Karens that are like, oh, you're just mad because I date Black men or whatever. And it's just like, we're SMCs. I'm a thinking SMC. When I broached this path, I thought about what I could do, what my own personal limitations were going to be. And I desperately need white women to do the same, right? Think about, don't center yourself like, oh, I date Black men. Oh my gosh. So now it's about you and not about how you're going to raise this kid.
Well,
right?
I'm not even
getting into that part. I'm trying to get to the part where, as parents, we do have a role in indoctrinating our kids into our culture, the culture, their culture. And can you adequately do that without leaning on, to a large extent, others to do that. So if you're going to be leaning on the Black community to do that work when you haven't even come to a racial reckoning on your own, that's not going to happen. You're causing harm to your kid, and you're also causing harm to that friendship that you once had with that Black woman, because you are going to say something that's harmful. You are going to make some assumptions that she should be there to usher your kid into adulthood as a Black person. And that is a lot to ask. And if you can't do that on your own, if you can't get out of your own way, if you can't start to do the racial work on yourself, how can you even usher a child? So for me, I think about it on the bigger scale in the terms of the responsibility of the parent, because most white people will be like, oh, you're beautiful. Oh, yeah. I love you. The world will love you. You're great. You're fabulous. And then you put up blocks for that child coming to you with any type of racial trauma, even the trauma you inflict on them. And then you're rolling out people who end up in our space saying, how do I enter Black spaces? Because we do have a good percentage of Black, white, biracial women in our space. That's just like, how do I join Black spaces? It's just like, you don't need permission. Wherever you are is a Black space. But we have to, again, do the work of, we're no longer mammies. I'm not a wet nurse. I don't have to nurse your kid. I don't have to educate your kid. Right? Out of respect for choosing a Black donor, do your homework. In so many white spaces, you hear, it's just like, you were so used to being the center of attention, you cannot see the forest for the trees. You cannot, even for your own kids, incapable of decentering yourself. Because when you come from a privileged space where you think that the world is always going to be there to catch you, you don't think to proactively create a safety net, because the world historically has caught you. And so anyway, I just say my caution is to do your homework, make sure that you understand where you lie with regards to race relations in America, and that you've done your due diligence to understand the history, both the told and the untold, because white supremacy is telling stories without even fully realizing that you're telling from a solely white lens. Full Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasmc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.